Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bibles and turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Everything we do, whether it's the camp, whether it's the mission, whether it's an activity here at the church, whether it's the school, everything we do our best to exalt our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach this message this morning. I do believe that I thought Jesus was going to return to this earth by way of the rapture long before 2025. I really did. I preached that for years, and I'll continue to preach that he is coming very soon. Amen. Here's the way I look at it. We're in overtime right now. Yeah. Don't foul out. Don't get in foul trouble because we're in overtime. Amen. Man, you stay faithful until that final trumpet sounds. Stand with me, please. Psalm 126. I love this. My life verse is verses 5 and 6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I pray, as always, that you would hide me behind the cross, that people wouldn't be hearing a preacher this morning. They'd be hearing the word of God. They'd be hearing Holy Writ as it is being sounded forth. And God, I pray that you just help me to do my part to not muddy it up. All I want to be is a vessel, just a mouthpiece this morning. Speak to all of our hearts. God, I pray that you would raise up leadership, fellowship. God, that you would raise up people that want to be used of you no matter what. And God, I pray that you give us a little bit of grit. God, that you give us a lot of faith and help us to understand the promise of Scripture and the promise of this Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. We are a Great Commission church. We have been given the responsibility to spread the seed of God's word, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning's message is a message of faith. It's a message of vision, if I preach it right. And it's a message of surrender and revival. I'm going to get it all in a short amount of time, although I do want to warn you, this is the first Sunday I can remember where I forgot to put my watch on. So, we'll just see how long this goes. And truthfully, I just go by that clock up there on the wall anyway. So you stay with me, all right? Ezra is the one that writes this psalm. Ezra led the first people back to the land, the city of Jerusalem. He was the one that led those first several hundred back. And he writes this 126th psalm by way of inspiration, and it is a word of inspiration for every child of God. This is for the New Testament local church and the day and age in which we live in 2025. I told you verses 5 and 6, those are my life verses. Whenever I do sign a Bible or I do have an opportunity to sign a letter, many times I'll write after my name, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. I kind of took it to heart way back in the early 1970s, and I've tried to live it out as best I could. I've failed God many, many times, but I tried to live it out the best I could. Living a life for God in the year 2025 is not easy. You know, Dan Campbell, coach of the Detroit Lions, I know that we are not on the same page theologically. I don't know that he's a born-again child of God. I don't think so. It'd be great if he got saved. But he uses a word a lot that I love. I love. And it's kind of his mantra. I think it ought to be our mantra, and it's the word grit. It takes grit to live out New Testament Christianity. Amen. You can't have thin skin. You can't loosen your halo there, little sister. That's a little John Wayne quote out of True Grit. Just some of you wouldn't know that. Jim and I would know that. That's about it. It takes some fortitude to live for God. And Psalm 126, we're going to work our way through it, I trust, as best I can. And here's how I'm going to divide it up. Verses 1 through 3 is going to be my first point. Verse 4 is going to be my second point. And verses 5 and 6 will be my final point. And it won't take long to get there. So Ezra writes this scripture, and it's based on Bible promise. And he sees this promise fulfilled. He was told that they were going to be taken back to the land of Jerusalem. Now, if you know your Bible, you know this to be true. And I think Ezra knew this. I know that Daniel knew this. They knew it was prophesied by Jeremiah years and hundreds of years before it happened. It was prophesied that Israel was going to be overrun by Babylon. And they were going to be carried. They were going to be destroyed as a nation. And they were going to be carried off into the land of Babylon. And it was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah that they would be in captivity for 70 years. So Ezra knew it was coming. But while they were in the land of Babylon, they cried out to God. I'm talking about the Jews now, the Hebrews. They cried out to God. Oh, they loved the homeland, and they were no longer there. And it was ripped from their hands. And they were marched some 800 miles. Some of them, like Daniel, in chains as young men, marched 800 miles to Babylon. And while they were there, the Bible says they set down their harps by the river, and they wept, thinking of the homeland. And they prayed to God, God, deliver us. God, bring us back to Israel, the land of Abraham, the land of our fathers, the land that was promised to us. And when it finally happened, Ezra said, it's like a dream. It's like it was too good to be true. Pinch me. Man, are we really home? Let's read that. Verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. They were enslaved for 70 years. Time out real quick. Remember before you got born again? Remember the life that you were living before you got saved? And how the days of despair and the days of darkness? Maybe you were already a husband. Maybe you were already a wife. Already, there's got to be more to this world than just paying bills. The electric bill, is that what it's all about? Me going and working 50 hours a week? Is that what it's all about? Then come home to arguing and then turning to the bottle or drugs or whatever. Remember what it was like before you got born again? You had the weight of the world on your shoulders, and then you met Jesus. And then someone told you about Jesus. And then you got born again. You prayed that sinner's prayer from your heart, and Jesus changed your life forever. And then all of a sudden, from a life of despair, a life of slavery, you got a song in your heart. Let's read it, verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, the joy of the Lord, and our tongue with singing, the song of the Lord. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. It's got to be God. And then verse 3 says, then we said it ourselves, the Lord hath done great things for us. Amen. Whereof we are glad. If you can't sing, and if you are saved, and you can't sing, you ain't right with God. If you are saved in your heart, I don't mean you got to stand up and sing solos. I'm not saying that. Not all of us are built that way. But even if you sing flat and you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you still ought to have a song in your heart. People ought to still hear you sing, and it ought to show. When I'm talking about the song in the heart, it's going to show to all parts of your life. The devil's people have no song. They don't. They sing about misery and heartache and disappointments and fantasy, and the dog died and my wife left me, and I've got that's what they sing about. That's their song. Or being in a stupor and not having to think at all and just having a beat going boom, 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 boom. That's all they got. And that's why they turn to drugs and alcohol and immorality. That's why they go there, because they don't have a song in their heart. You've heard me say this many times. I want to say it this morning. I love life, but I love life because I love Jesus. He has given me everything that I have. He's been so good to me. There is a song in my heart, and I believe that Jesus knew a lot about that song that was in his heart. Do you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 15, 13, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? It tells us in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 46, the disciples ate their meat with gladness. It tells us in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19, that when you get born again and you're filled with the Spirit of God, there is a melody, there is a song in your heart. How about this? Hebrews 1, 9, speaking of Jesus, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above all of his fellows. I believe that Jesus, when he was on this earth, he laughed a lot. Now, I know he was the son of sorrows. I know that is a Bible phrase. That's because he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I believe the older he got and the closer he got to Calvary, and he knew why he came to this earth. It was proclaimed. He knew that. He testified that to himself, that himself. He preached that himself. And as he got closer to Calvary and in climaxes with Gethsemane, and Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup from me and sweat great drops of blood. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Calvary wasn't going to be fun. So he was a man of sorrows. But he was also anointed with the oil of gladness. I would love to sit at a table with Jesus and the disciples. What do you think? Some of the things they talked about, I have no idea, but I do know this. A lot of us, we don't have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, it says in Nehemiah in chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is our strength. A lot of the sturdiness in my life comes from the joy of the Lord. I understand that. If you would look at life with the proper perspective, get your life right with God so you can walk with God and you can know the blessings of God and you can talk to him all day long and he can lead you as a good shepherd all day long. Things will straighten out in your life. And before long, because if you don't have Jesus, you got a reason to be sad. If you don't have Christ in your life as a child of God, if you have backslidden, you've gotten cold towards God, man, you're not living out the gospel like we are told to live out the gospel. Verses 1-3. Oh, this is what Ezra is saying. Oh, what God has done. This is like a dream. We're finally home. Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, rejoice in the Lord. 16 times in 104 verses in the book of Philippians, Paul says to rejoice or have joy. In fact, he alludes to it 20 times. That is the mark. That is one of the marks of a born-again child of God. There's a bounce in their step. It's not phony. It's not sugarcoating that which is evil. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's just, I trust God. I know that everything is going to be all right. And I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. Go back to Psalm 126 and look at verse 4. Verse 2, the world says, man, God is doing great things for Israel. Verse 3, they say it themselves. They say, amen. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And then verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. The stream beds that dry up during the dry season in the south of the land of Israel. And then the rains would come, and that's before harvest, and then the banks would overflow. And here Ezra, it goes from a song to a prayer. God, we need revival. God, revive us again. God, put that song in our heart. Turn again our captivity. Some of us, we're back in the land, but in our hearts, we're still captive. In our hearts, we're still in chains. In our hearts, we're still back in Babylon and living in Babylon. God, would you revive your people? God, would you turn us again? Would you make it like the streams in the south that were once dry riverbeds? And then the rains come, and then it's overflowing. The banks are overflowing. God, that's what we need in Jerusalem. God, that's what we need in Israel. God, that's what we need in America. God, that's what we need at Fundamental Baptist. That's what we need in the preacher's house. And that's what we need in your house. It's his prayer. He says, God, please revive us. Go to Philippians again in chapter 4. I warned you ahead of time, we're going to look at Philippians one more time after this. Philippians, because as I was studying this, Philippians kept jumping out. Chapter 4 and verses 4-7. Prayer is real. Can I just say it to you this way? Reach out to God in prayer. Be that man, be that woman, be that teenager, be that young person that is on talking terms with God. You got problems in your life? Paul said to the church at Philippi, quit being anxious. Quit worrying. Do like Ezra did. Do like the people of Israel did and cry out to God in prayer. He has that song in their heart and then there's that prayer. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Reach out to God in prayer. He's asked us to do so. There's so much that needs to be done. There is such a great work that has to happen. There's so much that I'm going to end the message this morning in just a few moments with a challenge to you and a challenge to me as a pastor in what we need to do. I was at a funeral yesterday. I didn't officiate the funeral. It wasn't a bad funeral. The guy actually threw the gospel out there. He just didn't pull it in, which drives me crazy. But because I know there were a lot of people there that would have actually received Christ at that moment. But anyway, he did a good job of presenting the gospel. And then it was a lot of family that was there from Debbie's side of the family. And a lot, I saw more people in one place that I graduated from high school with from Pickford than I have seen in three or four decades in one location. We sat down for the dinner afterwards and fellowship one with another. And if it happened one time, it happened four for sure, because I think of four people. Hey, do I know you? You look familiar. Yeah, you got to be kidding. I said, well, who are you? I'm Tim Rader. What? You know, because we all get old. Now, here's what we were laughing. I was laughing about it. I pointed out and everybody else started laughing about it. We had a bunch of people at our table and everybody was in the same, about the same age as me and all, about, you know, and we were all talking about the old days. That's what old people do, you know that? You talk about the past. You know why old people talk about the past? Because they don't have the energy for the future. And they keep talking, they talk about the old days and this. You remember when this happened? Yeah, remember the bomb? Yeah, I remember the bomb and at the laboratory and the old Pickford High School and just different events like that. But this is what old people do. They talk about the past and not the future. They talk about what they used to do and not what they can do. And I was thinking this morning about the book of Philippians. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. You understand we're children of eternity, we that are born again. We're young. And we have that energy, that things that need to be done for God. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You be careful. We need to be careful at Fundamental Baptist Church that all we talk about is the good old days. I love to reminisce. I think there's nothing wrong with that. We're told to do that. But we need to understand there's a tomorrow, should the Lord tarry. There's things that we need to get done in the family of God. We aren't finished here yet at Fundamental Baptist Church. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I don't care if you're all crippled up. I don't care if you don't look like you used to look. Man, I was so devastated how my classmates are all old people now. And some of them, they don't even look like they're the same. I told one of them, man, if I passed you in the aisle at Walmart or Meijer, I wouldn't even have known who you were. It's amazing how even faces change. But you know what doesn't change? The eyes. The Bible says they're a window to the soul. And that's amazing. I know who you are when you get this far away and you see their eyes. Let's not be that old people that just wishes for the good old days. That's not Azariah. Ezra was praying along with the people, God, bring us home. God, there's a temple that needs to be rebuilt. There's walls that need to be rebuilt. God, you promised that land to us. Some of them were old people. God, just bring us home. Lord Jesus. And of course he did. And then he said, man, it's like a dream. It's almost too good to be true. He says in verse 5 and 6, go there if you will. And in verses 5 and 6, he talks about tears. That is heart. That is effort. That is burden. He talks about reaping, that is harvest. He talks about the seed. Of course, that is the word of God. He says here in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's a soul winner's promise. You're invested in the work of God and invested in the work of reaching eternal souls that are lost and going to hell. There's going to be a harvest. Don't ever get over the place where when you see somebody, you wonder whether or not they're saved. You see an eternal soul. You get on a basketball court, you don't see an opponent there all the time. You need to understand there's an eternal soul. Hey, that referee that you yell at, that is an eternal soul. know, that grandma that's up there and she hears you yell at her kid, that is an eternal soul up there. And we do a good job there, and we got to stay on top of that. And that's one thing that Travis said over and over again. You talk about hospitable. He said, first time I've ever been this place. What a facility. You got to come here and see. You got to come and see this. That's what he said. What we've got to portray who Jesus is. Whether we win or lose the battle, portray heaven. Portray who Jesus is. The promise is, if you care, if you sow in tears, who's the last person you wept over? I don't mean weeping because you can't pay your bills. I don't mean weeping because somebody's sick. I mean weeping because they're lost and you're concerned about them. They that sow in tears, they'll reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Of course, the key is the word of God. We know that. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 says, it always produces. There'll always be a harvest. It never returns void. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless, I've underlined that verse, that word in that verse so many times, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need burden. We need tears. We need the word of God, the seed. And we need vision. Knowing what God desires to do. He said, whoa, what God has done in the past. And oh God, you brought us out of the land of Babylon. How good God is, and we praise you for that. And Lord Jesus, we pray again, make our hearts soft. God, we pray again, send us revival, real heaven-sent revival by way of the Holy Spirit of God, by way of the word of God. And then we're gonna claim this Bible promise. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. God, help us to be a part of that group of people in the family of God that are foot soldiers for Jesus, that are all about reaching the lost, because there'll be great rewards in heaven one day. And I don't want to be someone that was just on the team and not out serving God, not in the battle. God, help. I know we have soul winners everywhere in this church. But I know I'm speaking to a teenager right now. You haven't witnessed anybody in your whole life. And I got to wonder whether or not you're saved. I know I'm speaking to adults right now, and because of fear or whatever, you've never told anybody about Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, is that real salvation? It's not a work salvation. It's all a mercy. But I got to think, if you don't have it on the inside, you're not going to share it to those around you. And if you're not sharing it to those around you, maybe it's not there on the inside. I don't know. That would be a tragic end to this life to find out you went to hell because you were never born again. And if you got born again and you love Jesus, there's a song in your heart. And you're going to get it done. You're going to do all you can for the glory of God. Okay, here's what we need to do in the year 2025. Number one, on an individual basis, go to the book of Peter. I and you, I'm speaking first person. I need to grow in grace. I need to grow in the knowledge of God. That is going to happen one way. My faith needs to get bigger than what it is right now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know how you're going to become a spiritual giant? By getting your Bible, opening it up, and reading it, and studying it. You'll get a little bit by coming to church. It'll spill over on you. And Pastor Rader may spit far enough, it gets to the back row every once in a while. That'd take quite a spit, but it could possibly happen. Maybe somebody is going to rub off on you just a little bit. You hear a little bit in Sunday school. What would happen if you were a Bible student? Man, your faith would grow. You would grow in grace, and you'd grow in the knowledge of the word of God. That's number one. I've got to do that as an individual. Number two, we've got to reach the north. The gospel is not static. So I've been here 44 years this month. I've been preaching in this area. I was raised in this area. Most people know me. I've gotten used to this. Now I'm the old guy. Now I'm the person that the younger preachers called. Well, I had three preachers call me this week wanting advice on something. It's like I'm the sage, the wise man from the north, and they have no idea how juvenile I am and how little I really know about the word of God. But man, you know, there's a responsibility. Now I go to funerals, and now I go to gathering places, or I go to Meyer or wherever I might go. People are staring at me all the time, and they're whispering. I know what they're, that's that Baptist preacher. Hey, that's a Baptist preacher. You can almost read their lips over and over again. And with that comes a platform, comes a great responsibility. And as a child of God, I not only need to grow, you're the same way, by the way. We got to reach people for Christ. We got to tell them everything that we know. We got to reach the north. Here's how we're going to do it. Jerusalem Project, right? Real simple. Last summer, we visited every door in Rudyard, Kinross, and Pickard. Pastor Josh has been burdened about this, and I'm throwing it completely on him because he brings it up again and again. Dad, we got to get down those side roads. There's a lot of people living down those side roads. So we're going to have three blitzes again this summer, and we're gonna get in our automobiles because it's going to be hard to walk from house to house doing that, and we're going to hit the countryside this summer. That is going to be part of our Jerusalem project. Number two, we got that Easter special. I've got most of the logistics, most of the info. I don't have all of the logistics. Here is what's going to happen. I just want you to get a little bit excited, get a little vision. April the 6th, a television crew is going to be here from First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. They are going to produce an Easter special. And according to how much money comes in for this part of the Jerusalem project, we're going to buy all the television time we can on Easter Sunday morning. I want to be on a Traverse City station, Lord willing. I think this is from God. And because it came from another source besides what I was thinking. I want to be on WLUC up in Marquette. You say, what's the purpose of that? So they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll be recorded on the 6th, April the 6th. It'll be edited down to a 30-minute time slot. So we'll be able to edit out all of the foolishness. And then I'm going to get on there right at the very end and present the gospel, and we're praying that souls will be saved. The gospel will go places we never thought it would go. People will watch those programs, half-hour slots, and we just need to start bathing it in prayer, all right? Just want you to be prepared about that, have a little bit of vision. Final thing is real simple. Heaven-sent revival. We need it. When the fire started in California, I'm a pretty hard guy sometimes. I remember thinking, well, they got it coming to them. I would never say that out loud. I just did, but that's what I thought. And as soon as I said that, the Spirit of God smote my heart and said, yeah, and you got it coming to you too. Mercy. The mercy of God. We got three sister churches right in Los Angeles, and they're going at it right now. They're faithful. We got brethren out there, brothers and sisters. And then there's others out there, they're crying. They're looking for answers. Man, the gospel, what an opportunity. I'll say more about that a little bit later on, because there's things on the ground there that are being taken care of right now by good people. What about our area? What about the counties surrounding us? What about just below the bridge? On any given Sunday, and I checked on Friday night, between YouTube and Facebook, 700 people watched our last Sunday morning services. 700. I don't know if they watched the whole service or not. I don't know that. But they're tuning in. There are so many people out there in every direction that don't know Christ as their Savior. And they never will unless the church gets on fire. The church gets revived. That's on us. And if you're here this morning and you're not born again, hear the gospel. There's a God in heaven who has a Son. His name is Jesus. He is deity. He visited this earth 2,000 years ago, as was prophesied. And he went to the cross after living a perfect life. He was nailed to the cross, a righteous man, not like you or me. And he became the sin bearer for all the sins of all mankind. And he bore on his body the sins of every generation, from Adam until the last man. And he bled out and provided blood atonement, propitiation for our sin. He took it to the grave, and he rose again on the third day. He ascended on up into heaven, sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and he came down and birthed the church of Jesus Christ. And one day, the Son of God is going to appear in the clouds, and he's going to take his church home. That day is very, very soon. And anybody who is not born again will be left behind. If you're here and you're not born again, I plead with you. I beg with you. Come to Christ this morning.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.